This is Mary Jane, and I'm so very fortunate to be chatting with a member of the most dance-o-matic band, The Faint.
Hi, I'm Jacob, keyboard player of The Faint.
Fingers, but I didn't beg, 'cause I knew you knew, 'cause I knew you knew I liked you.
So you joined up with The Faint after the release of Media. How did you get involved with the band?
Todd and I were hanging out outside the same show waiting for the band to show up, and that's when we first started talking about it. That band was, I believe, Slaves, who later became Pleasure Forever. And they never showed up that night, so we just ended up talking about it for a while. But later I saw them performing. I saw them perform Worked Up So Sexual with Clark playing the keyboard.
Uh-huh.
And a drum machine as the beat. And it was a huge change in the direction that their band was going. It was a similar sound to something I was trying to do on my own, and when I realized that what it was that they really wanted a keyboard player for, I said, sign me up.
So it was their live performance that convinced you?
No, mostly that song. The performance was okay, but the PA that they brought for the drum machine broke, so it was a pretty bad show. It was really just that one song. They got off stage after that, but I thought the song was so good that, and the style of the song was so fresh that it seemed like a band that I should be in.
The music that The Faint releases has been referred to as electric punk. Would you agree or disagree with that description?
I think the punk thing is, I don't know, I feel like maybe we're kind of responsible for describing our music that way.
Yeah.
We used to tell people when they asked us what kind of music we played, we'd say that it was electronic dance music for punk. I don't know, I still like that description somewhat.
Yeah.
It don't always write the danciest music, sometimes the music is electronic music for punks, or maybe just dance music for punks, if not so electronic. But I think overall that's a pretty good description.
If you weren't allowed to contribute to the band by way of keys, what would you play instead?
I would probably just use some kind of electronics knob twisting if there were any keys on the keyboard. There are synthesizers without keys. We could just sequence one of those, and I would just tweak it.
Okay. So there's no instrument that you'd be interested in learning?
Like a saxophone or something?
Or anything.
Not my answer. I'm just... No, not really. It's mostly like the technology that excites me.
Okay, so like sound engineering?
More like noise making.
What is the best sound that you've ever heard?
The best sound ever? Whoa. There are some really wonderful sounds, some really disgusting ones, like balloons being rubbed ever so slightly.
Uh-huh.
Human skin. And in a way, the fact that that sound elicits such a response from me makes me think that there's something kind of magic to it. I don't know the best sound I've ever heard. I like the way hyenas sound. I've been working on a sound collage with hyena samples for an installation for a friend of mine. But their voices can also be very grating.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think that synthesizer sounds beautiful. I think that's why I'm so drawn to them. A wonderful sound can be a friend's voice over the phone when you haven't seen them, for ages. I talked to a friend of mine yesterday that I haven't been able to catch up with for months, and it was just really good to.
Well, I think it's interesting that you said that, your comment about balloons. Do you think that's something you would try to sample?
I don't know. Maybe if we sampled it and tried to harness the weird power behind it.
Yeah.
The energy that makes my skin crawl. maybe there would be something there. But the sound really, it kind of just hurts my feelings.
Aww.
I don't know if I could work with it. Or styrofoam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Styrofoam is just stupid shit. There's no point to it.
I agree.
Alternatives at this point, and it's... That stuff's just filling up my larynx. It's gross.
Yeah.
Sounds like crap.
What's the most outrageous or scandalous thing you or the band as a whole have participated in?
Streak, No Doubt. Like, we got on No Doubt stage.
Oh.
We're mostly naked. Get all the way. And was arrested.
Okay, were you guys playing with them, or did you just go to the show?
No, we were on tour with them, and it was the last show of the tour.
Uh-huh.
And they we knew that they were going to pull a prank on us, so we had planned this prank.
Yeah.
And after they did their prank, we were just kind of like, all right, we got to go through with it now.
Well, what did they do to you?
They did a lot of pranks. They basically just tried to ruin our show.
Aww.
Put a bunch of double-sided tape down on the stage, and then when we walked out, they had it completely dark.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't turn the lights on for a song or two.
Aww.
And when they did, they were changing the monitors so that Todd's voice would come back, like they put a delay on it so that we would all hear it like a beat later.
Oh, yeah.
Actually singing. And so we all just thought Todd was fucking up really badly. We're like, why doesn't he understand what's going on? Why is he singing on the wrong beat consistently? But Todd knew what was happening. He was able to counter that. And then they got on stage, their guitar tech and their drummer, and I don't remember who was all on there. I just remember the guitar tech. Well, the drummer gets naked all the time, and he didn't get naked.
Oh.
But I knew something was up, and the guitar tech came out wearing, like, just a G-string, but, like, a red dildo.
Uh-huh.
Strap-on dildo or something, you know?
Yeah.
Which is weird, because our idea was to spray paint our genitals red, and that was it. We were like, well, maybe that's not really nudity, so, you know, we'll have spray paint on. It's kind of like clothes.
Yeah.
And we realized that when we were talking about it, that he might have overheard us. So then when he had this red dildo, we were kind of wondering if he had, you know, stolen our idea in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't really, you know, his actual physical member.
Right.
So I asked him afterwards, I said, did you wear a strap-on because you are ashamed of your own or were you afraid you'd get arrested? And he said, don't get naked on our stage, you'll get arrested. So I took that to heart, and I went and told Todd and Clark, who at this point, since we had decided to go through with the plan,
mm-hmm.
We were more nervous than we've ever been before a show, probably, about it, and drinking a lot of, I think it was Jägermeister,
mm-hmm.
just to get up the gall to do it. And I know I said it. I know I said that. I know I passed the word on, you know, that he had told me that we would get arrested. But I think that Todd just wanted to go through with it, and he didn't really care.
Yeah.
So we went through with it. Todd was naked, stole the microphone from Gwen, and on the song Just a Girl, and started singing, well, she kind of handed it to him because she didn't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And started singing Just a Boy, and, you know, I'm just a boy in the world. I guess that line doesn't rhyme anymore, but I think that's what he was saying. And then when we left the stage, some of their crew were like, you guys are in big trouble, there's cops looking for you. It turns out it was on, like, a reservation outside of Albuquerque.
Oh, no.
Turns out that, like, some, like, maybe the mayor and, like, some kind of judge or something,
mm-hmm.
From a reservation that were there that had brought their children to the show, and so they were pretty upset about it. Honestly, we hadn't even really thought about the fact that these were all ages shows and that.
Yeah.
You know, I just hadn't really crossed our mind. So we hopped in some kind of a shuttle and drove back to the hotel where we were staying, which was actually kind of like this desert resort that No Doubt had paid to put us up in since it was the last show, which was really nice of them.
Yeah.
And, yeah, eventually the cops found us and took Todd away. But Clark and I got off because we didn't really get naked. We got naked, but then we took a napkin that we spray-painted the faint on the front of and put a belt around it, so it was kind of like a loincloth.
Yeah.
Really weird to wear a napkin and a belt. And it didn't really conceal very much, but because we...
But it was something.
Like, attempting... We didn't have to go to jail, and Todd did have to fly back for court days.
Oh no!
He had to fly back and pay a fine. You know, he had to rent a car. I think he slept overnight in his car outside of the courthouse because I don't know why he did that, but I remember that was part of the story.
Wow, I mean that's pretty. Hilarious. Not many people can say they were arrested for that.
No. They could if they wanted to, but...
But it would be a lie.
Well, no, I mean, they could just do that and get arrested for it if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it'd be that hard. It wasn't that hard for us to do it. And we could have got away with it, I think, but Todd just wanted to face up to it.
Yeah.
He was really drunk, you know, and the cops came, and he was like, I don't see what the big deal is. Our bodies, we shouldn't be so uptight about our bodies. The cops were like, whatever, you know, and threatened him his rights and stuff. And he was like, my performance was art or something. And I don't know why he was even doing that. And then one of the cops goes, I bet you think you're pretty clever, Todd. And Todd, and we had just watched Spinal Tap, so Todd decided that was a good time to quote Spinal Tap. And he said to the cop, he goes, there's a fine line between clever and stupid. Which I thought was hilarious. I couldn't believe this. Quote Spinal Tap while he's being arrested. But I think he knew he was going down at that point, so it was like he was doing everything he could to make a case for himself and blaze of glory kind of thing. I have some other ones that are more scandalous, but I really should not ever share them with the public.
Okay. Well, this one was a good one, so. Involved with music, what has been the most relevant change or development in the production of music?
I think that Pro Tools was around, digital recording was around, but it seems like it's gotten a lot better, and there are a lot of different ways of creating music. I don't know, even like DJ software and stuff that is making it, I don't want to say easier, because it's just a different approach to music.
Yeah.
In the way that people look at sound and how it can be manipulated by, like, looping it or what have you. Something to do with recording. But it's hard to say if there's any one big change. Synthesizers, I think, are, like, my forte. They haven't really changed that much. They've just been making the interface more friendly and creating digital synthesizers that sound like they're made out of analog parts.
Mm-hmm.
All the synthesis technology happened before I was born, and then just kind of has been refined.
The Faints' live shows are extremely dance-o-matic and energetic. Do you have a most memorable performance?
I think you made that word up. Anyway.
I did, but I like it, so I want to use it.
Okay. keep doing that. Stephen Colbert works for him with the whole truthiness thing. It'll catch on.
I hope so. I was just saying, because your shows are so energetic, is there something, or do you have a performance that sticks out in particular as being the most memorable?
I remember when we did the Blank Wave release, Blank Wave Arcade release party or whatever, at the Cog Factory in Omaha. I remember people being really excited. Like, people were coming to our Omaha shows, but we were playing so much back then that not everybody would turn up for any one show, you know? It was like, we were getting, I don't know, you know, 30 or maybe 40 people sometimes, but, like, you know, it was never huge. But it was, you know, it was a crossover. You could tell it wasn't always the same people coming out, even though some of the kids were coming out to every show.
Yeah.
You know, a handful of kids. So when we put out, when we did the Blank Wave Arcade release, it was, like, a packed show at the Cog Factory, which is, I don't know, 160 people, maybe, at the very most, which was great. It was like, wow, we, like, totally sold out the Cog Factory, which is this little warehouse space that can't even really be sold out. And so that was kind of exciting. But when we were playing, I remember the performance going really well and the audience just loving it. And it was like, after we finished, the applause was louder than the band was. We're blushing, like getting really, like, you know, just feeling overwhelmed by the fact that people were really, like, proud of us in our hometown. So that, I always remember that one. It made me feel like I was doing the right thing with my life, finally.
Oh, well, that's nice. Well, if you guys could add something to your live shows, what would it be?
At this point, I think we've kind of got all the elements that we want. It's just a matter of manipulating them to look differently. Like, you know, lighting, video, band, you know, equipment. I think we'll change the way that we present the video. We do a little bit every time, but it's really small steps, you know. It's like, it doesn't seem that different to the audience, I'm sure. And,
yeah.
And, you know, same thing with the lighting. It's just like, oh, there's light, you know. People don't really know what's different each time, but, you know, we always kind of, like, reevaluate it and try something a little different.
Do you think The Faint would ever contribute to an iPod commercial?
Like, would we license our song for an iPod commercial?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could, yeah. I mean, it's obviously, like, a great way for a band to be exposed to a wider audience. You know, like, there's, it's just a lot of times the song just becomes like, oh, that song from the iPod commercial. Like,
right.
Like, the Caesars still are, you know, they've released a couple albums, and I don't feel like I know very many people in the States. Like, they're a great band, but, you know, have they really caught on? Do people, do they have a fan base? It's like, most people just know them as the, you know, the band with the song from the iPod commercial.
Yeah.
It's a little easier for a band like us who's established now. Like, when back in, when Dance Macabre came out, we didn't want to license anything. We didn't want people to get to know our band for the first time through a commercial. And, you know, we turned down a lot of money because of that mentality. But I feel like we've kind of established ourselves in such a way now that if somebody wanted to license something off the last album for an iPod commercial, I don't think we'd hesitate at all to say, to let them, you know, to let them pay us for the usage of that song. But if it was a new song, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, if the album's not out yet, if people haven't had a chance to, you know, hear us do that song live, it's a little different. You don't really want people to associate a song of yours with a commercial for the rest of their lives, you know? But, yeah, so I guess the answer is conditional. If they wanted to use, you know, Erection, Fisher.
Yeah.
I don't think they'd want to use that song.
Probably not. Played South by Southwest this year, right?
Yeah.
Was there any particular act that stuck out or that you were excited to see?
We were actually only planning on being there for our show, basically.
Oh, okay.
we opted to not get wristbands, but then we ended up being able to stick around another day. And I still didn't really get to go to any shows because I didn't have a wristband. I kind of like would peek in on stuff and check some things out. We played a show with Gruff Reese. You know him from Super Free Animal?
Yeah, okay.
I peeked in on Mastercraft for a little bit. I'm really upset that I missed the Black Lips. That was like the show that I wanted to see, but I think that we ended up playing it around the same time as them, so it didn't really work out.
Oh, that's too bad. It's been a few years since The Faint has released any new music. What are you guys working on now, and do you have any titles or release dates in the works?
We don't have any release dates or titles. We have a bunch of songs. We're on tour now, playing some songs, some new songs, as well as a bunch of old ones. The ones that we're playing on tour are Fish in a Womb, Get Seduced, The Geeks Were Right, and Forever Growing Centipedes, Battle Hymn for Children. And I feel like all of those titles, they definitely relate to what songs are about. I don't know if they give you a good idea of what they sound like. We've been getting pretty positive feedback, though, from the audiences. Friends come out to shows and stuff. Some people say that they're glad we're trying new things, and some people say that they're glad that we're not trying, that we're not changing it up. So it seems like we must be doing the right thing. I don't know. Yeah, so basically where we're at now with the album is that we're in the process of making our own studio in Omaha. Taking much longer than we thought, but also because there's been so many delays in the construction of the studio, it's given us more time to finish the record and do things like tour for a little bit and try out some new songs.
How would you say the new tracks that you just said, how are they different from the early work of The Faint?
There are some kind of throwbacks. I feel like Get Seduced is kind of in a way like that, like this big keyboard riff and some parts where it's like we're messing with like sort of conflicting rhythms and things that we did before we really knew what we were doing, maybe. But now we're doing it intentionally.
Yeah.
I don't know, Joel's playing guitar on Geeks Were Right and Forever Growing Centipedes and she plays on all the new songs. So he has, I don't know, his style I think is unique and changes the way that the band sounds. Like, it's been a really positive response so far from everyone that I've talked to.
Well, I can't wait to hear him, so that's exciting.
Yeah, I can't wait to get out to San Diego and play him pretty good. San Diego is, like, one of our best cities, definitely. Like,
yeah, and you guys haven't been out here in a while.
Just the crowds. Yeah, well, we have, but it was kind of not a real proper show.
So
it's gonna be good to get back and do it right.
All right. Well, I always end my interviews by asking my musicians the same three questions, so I'm just gonna go ahead and ask you those. Do you have a slang term that you overuse?
It usually changes. Lately, I noticed that myself and a lot of my friends use the word brutal to describe things that are just sometimes, I don't know, not necessarily brutal.
Okay, what's your drink of choice?
Well, the one I've been craving the most is that I make peanut butter chocolate banana shakes when I'm at home. Blender. I don't really have a blender on tour, so I can't really make one. I'm dying to get one of those. It's the first thing I'm going to do when I get home.
Yeah.
After I, give my wife a kiss and pet my dog.
Right. And how do you feel about eyeliner?
I don't feel strongly one way or the other. I used to wear it, but I don't know. I haven't really worn makeup in a while. That was back when I dressed like a priest, so.
All right, well, do you have any final notes or a message to your fans who are listening?
I do like the sound of Ratchet. Like, that's the sound I forgot to mention. When we're talking about a good sound, that's the one I thought of while we've been talking. No, I guess if I have final words, I'm just going to say come on to the show because it's going to be awesome.